This is The Preacher's Perspective with your host, Warren Joyce. And I want to take a little while today and talk on the subject, the dark side of ministry. And it's something that we oftentimes avoid or maybe overlook and in our own lives and in the lives of others, simply because we often don't have an answer or we don't know exactly what to do. And that statement there, I don't know what to do, is what can also cause this particular thing to happen. So without any further ado, I want to talk about depression. And it's a deeply kept secret that we try to avoid speaking about. And it's taken so many so much further than they ever really wanted to go. And then they ever imagined themselves going. And depression is a serious thing, and it's something that we all will have to deal with at some point if we haven't already, or if we don't continually deal with it. Now, I want to be very clear to everyone or anyone that's listening to this today, or whenever you're listening to it. If you are dealing with depression, seek help. Talk to someone. If you're dealing with a mental illness, go to the doctor. Don't avoid going to the doctor. Go speak to your pastor. Speak to someone. Speak to your friend. Reach out. And then to those who are not dealing with depression currently, then you reach out to your friends. Make sure they're okay. You reach out to someone. You talk to them. And hit this thing head on, if you will, and go at it on the offense rather than playing from a defensive position on depression, because too many have lost this battle, and we have to help others. We have to help people win and overcome this. So, and I want to deal with something that is very specific to preachers or to those that are in a service ministry where you are pouring out of yourself continually. And not everyone deals with the same level of depression or even has to face the exact same things that will lead to this devastating experience. However, if we're going to be used by God in any capacity, this is something that we're going to have to face, and we will have to deal with this. We'll have to confront it at some point. And so knowing this, we have to come to the understanding that depression is not the end of the world. It's not something that we are really alone in, even though while we're facing depression, we feel very alone. And we feel like we're the only ones that are dealing with it. And oftentimes, we even feel like our whole world is collapsing around us. But we must know, and we must come to the realization that we are not alone, that we have others, that we have the programs in place. We have people that we can talk to. No one is alone. So don't feel that way today. It doesn't have to be something that we hide from everyone, and it doesn't have to be something also that we make a crutch on which we lean. So it doesn't have to become who we are, so to say. It doesn't have to be our identity. Depression should not be our identity. We find our identity in Christ, not in the circumstances of which we live or the things that we go through. So that's number one thing, is this is something we're going to face, but it is a passing phase, if you will. It's something that is not here to stay, but it will go, even though it feels like that it's never going to leave. That's not true. The truth is that it came and it will go. So we have to remember that. It's just often, or most of the time, it's something that we have to learn to deal with and overcome, and then we'll have to face it again and deal with it and overcome it and continue on down that process so that we can grow. And then we can recognize the points or the triggers that make this happen in us so that we can deal with it easier. And then we can help somebody else with it. It often is directly related and caused, especially in ministry or in the preaching ministry or pastors or anyone who exerts a service industry where we're pouring out of ourselves, evangelist, whatever it may be. It is directly caused by us emptying ourselves during ministry and by something that happens spiritually through the imparting of God's Spirit from us to others, because God uses preachers to impart things in the Spirit that help people, that we God pours into us and then we pour out of us. And so this spiritual depression, this thing that happens that seems to affect every aspect of our life, or it can anyway, it drains our emotions, it drains us physically, mentally. We become sometimes even another person. It affects our relationships. It can have all these devastating effects, and oftentimes we don't recognize why. We don't recognize what it is that we're going through. And maybe even we beat up ourselves a little bit because we're a preacher or a pastor or we are a leader of some sort, and then we wonder why it is that we are going through this when we should be overcoming. And we think, well, I'm an overcomer. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not living a sinful life. I've repented of my sins, and so on. And then we wonder why we're dealing with depression. Well, it's really quite simple. It's because we have emptied ourselves, and there's nothing there. So then, and in the emptying of ourselves and the pouring out during ministry, we see what can be when we're ministering. When God is using us to minister to people, we see what God is capable of. We see what people are capable of with God. And so we expect things to happen in the Spirit. And then when we don't see those things fulfilled in the same way that we expect them to be fulfilled, it can lead to an emotional drain, physical drain, and then to depression, because we don't see it happening immediately. But every minister that has been serving in any amount of time will go through these times of loneliness and depression where you feel like your whole world is caving in. There have been studies done, and I've done some research on how many pastors actually are leaving the ministry monthly, and there are some claims. I think that for the most part, they're mostly fraudulent claims that are 1,500 to 1,700 pastors every single month are walking away from the ministry. But from the research that I've seen, it actually shows more on the lines of 250, 300, somewhere in that range. So it's not in droves that people are leaving the ministry because, well, for the most part, and most pastors that I've seen and most ministers that I've seen, they're not quitters. They don't join this to quit. Yes, it at times can be overwhelming. And yes, at times you feel like quitting, but we don't quit. We just keep going. We just do what we know to do. And that is really one of the key things to overcoming depression and this draining of our spirit and our emotion that we deal with. In previous generations, depression and mental illness were just as prevalent and just as much of an issue as it is today. One of the main components of why it wasn't as heard of then is because communication didn't travel as fast as it does today. Today, because of technology, because we have easy access to many different people from many different areas across the world in an instant, we know what happens all across the world, everywhere, all the time. And that is not necessarily a good thing. So we see this happening. We see what seems to be this great attack or this great epidemic, if you will, of pastors and preachers and pastors' wives and people falling prey to depression and then falling prey to suicide and things like that. I want to let everybody know that this has happened in the past. The devil is not any stronger. He actually has no more power over the church than he ever had. Now, we have to be aware of his devices, and we have to be aware of how he operates. And social media is not of God, if you will. It would be more in line of being of the devil, of the enemy of our soul, because it placates the flesh and it fulfills lust of the flesh and it fulfills the pride of life and the lust of the eye. It does not work in conjunction with the Spirit. Now, in one part of social media that actually hinders our good feelings or our feelings of accomplishment is it constantly brings it brings about the desire or the need to compare ourselves among others, and that's not a good thing. We know that the Scripture teaches us that we are not to compare ourselves with each other. We're not to make each other the standard. The only standard we're to have is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I'm not to look at my brother and to make how the things are going and happening in their church and in their life the standard for mine. I'm not to have outreach because they are having outreach. I'm not to have a Friends Day because they are having a Friends Day. I'm not to have a certain evangelist because they are having a certain evangelist. Now, this happens, but it happens it happens to those who are weak in this area. Now, I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm not trying to say that we can't have an evangelist that somebody else had. What I'm trying to say is we're not to make those people or those churches the standard by which we live. We're not to even be jealous or envious of the revival that someone else is having, and then therefore try to imitate that revival in our own churches, in our own congregations, or even in our own lives. Social media has become a nuisance to this point. It actually has hindered the church because of a lot of people take the good that it can come of it and they turn it into evil. And because we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Now, I know that's never the intention, or should never be the intention of anybody, especially a pastor or a Holy Ghost-filled individual, to post on social media to cause envy or jealousy with one of their brethren or sisters. But that being said, I don't believe that that's the purpose behind these things, especially when a church posts about how a revival is happening and how they're being blessed and how great things, and they had so many baptized and so many filled with the Holy Ghost and so many repented and highest attendance ever. I don't believe those things are negative things. I don't believe those things are bad things. But what it can do to someone that is dealing with depression is it can be very, very harmful to them, especially for someone that is going through a difficult time and they may not understand how to get out of that time. Now, it's not the responsibility of the poster to try to understand and deal with what everybody's dealing and going through at all times. That would be an impossibility. So we have to learn how, as the one that have been depressed and are going through depression, we have to learn how to deal with things like social media, because I believe that it can be a great help, and it can be something that brings joy and happiness to people if it's used correctly. It's an onslaught of information, though, and when we're dealing with depression or we're dealing with a mental illness or even a spiritual attack in these forms, then we need to be careful. The individual dealing with this needs to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't just spend hours and hours of time just mindless scrolling through what other people are doing and how that God is blessing over there, and then the thoughts become, well, God's not blessing over here, well, God's not blessing me, and the works of my hands are not being blessed. And that's detrimental. It's devastating to us, and it's devastating to our spirits. It's devastating to what the Holy Ghost can do through us, and it causes division, and it causes us to dislike and maybe be envious or even hate our brother or our sister in the Lord. And that is wrong. And that's not something that is going to help us get rid of depression and overcome it. It's actually going to make it deeper. Now, like I said, I don't believe that it's social media's fault that men and women in ministry are dealing with mental illness. But I do believe that it has a part to play. I do believe that there is a certain aspect of it that if we can't learn as the preacher, as the minister, learn to limit ourselves on those on things like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these other social media outlets, if we can't control those things, then we need to just completely get rid of it. And that way, it's for our own spiritual well-being and our mental well-being. We shouldn't allow the enemy to use things that can be used for good to be used for evil. And when we are allowing the enemy to take and turn the good things that are happening somewhere else into bad things towards us, like it's an attack against us, that's wrong. And we need to learn how to control that. We can't allow comparison, consistent comparison of those who seem to have it better than us, to bring us into depression. We have to take control of this. We have to take control of our own self, of our own mind. Now, and we can do that in several different ways. We can do it by turning social media off. We can do it by taking a break from social media. We can do it by going through some very simple things that will help alleviate depression in our lives. And we're going to get to that here in just a minute. But we find in the Word of God that there's many great men and women in the Word of God that dealt with bouts of depression and mental illness. We see that, and I know these are the places that we all go so many times, and we've read it, and especially when you're talking to preachers or to ministers, we oftentimes we really limit what God can do because of our knowledge of the Word of God, because we know these stories. We know that Elijah went through a time of depression right after he was used mightily of God. We know that, but God gave us that example so that we could see it in us, so that we could see, look, this is what you're going to have to deal with. You're going to be facing the prophets of Baal. You're going to be facing those that dislike me. You're going to be facing the enemy of your soul. And I'm going to move, and I'm going to flow, and I'm going to pour my spirit out, and great things are going to happen. But then immediately after that, the next day, that same day even sometimes, you're going to go through great bouts of depression, because that impartation that was happening when we were dealing with the prophets of Baal, now that strong and mighty move of the Spirit is now gone. And now we're just by ourselves again. And so then we go and hide under a juniper tree and tell God, it's enough. You're ready to die. Just take me. And this is common. This is not uncommon. This is very common. And it happens. It happens quite a bit. We see that. We feel very lonely sometimes in the ministry. You can be lonely in a geographic location. I know a lot of church planters that have planted churches in places where there's not any churches, and there's no churches near them. And where I live, particularly, we have. A couple neighboring churches in the same city, but that's not the norm in this area. Typically, you're hundreds of miles, or 100 miles, 50 miles, 80 miles away from the next neighboring church, hour and a half, 2 hours away, and that can be very difficult. Geographic loneliness can create depression. So we must be intentional about being connected with our brothers and sisters, and this will help. This will help us overcome depression. It'll help us overcome these instances of loneliness, and it also will help our brothers overcome depression. And any preacher that would sit and tell you they've never dealt with depression, look, I'm just going to go ahead and say you need to repent, and because you're lying. That's not true. If you have preached, well, let me rephrase that. Maybe you're not lying. Maybe you've just never allowed the Holy Ghost to operate and flow through you on a great scale. If you've never dealt with depression after preaching, after really imparting and the Holy Ghost flowing through you the way that God wants to and the way that He can, and if you've never dealt with depression or that feeling of complete drain, an emotional drain, mental drain, physical drain that can lead to depression, then I would say that you've never really allowed the Lord to use you. Now, just because we know we are going to have to deal with depression after those facts doesn't mean we shouldn't allow God to use us. I mean, God wants to use us. We shouldn't allow that to stop the flow of the Holy Ghost in our life. But if anything, it should drive us forward. It should drive us to do more with God, to allow Him to do more and greater things, because God wants to help us overcome depression. He wants to help us battle through this and to push through it so that we can grow and so that others can grow. At this point, I've dealt with depression so many times. Now I know how to overcome it. Now I'm still having to overcome it. I'm still having to go through this, and it's because of when I'm preaching, I allow the Lord to operate, and that takes me low after the fact. Now I know more about how to deal with it, and I'm going to continue to learn. And depression usually hits me as a passing phase on Thursdays. Thursday just seems to be the day. It's not every Thursday, but on Thursdays after a Wednesday night, after I've gone through the week, I've preached on Sunday, busyness of the rest of the week, and then Wednesday night, preach, and then Thursdays, it's tough. Sometimes it's been Friday, sometimes it's other days, but the most consistent has been Thursdays. Now, I know I'll have to face this devastating depression on Thursday. I know that. And because I know that, I can better prepare myself for the things that I must do. And those things are, I must pray. I must read and study the Bible. And I must listen to preaching. This is listening to preaching during that time of depression is one of the most effective ways to overcome depression. Listening to the Word of God being preached, it's like words of life being spoken. It is the words of life being spoken and being declared around me. And that works wonders to someone that's going through depression, especially me. And this is how I get through this. And I'm encouraging you today to start recognizing this. Not now, your exact circumstances may not be exactly like mine, but and you may deal with it differently than I do. But this is how I overcome it. Now, this kind of weekly depression is much different than a depression that comes and stays for a while. Now, I've had to go through that as well. That's a lot different. Now, what is happening during either the weekly type of emotional drain and depression that I'm dealing with, and the depression that I've been through, that it seems to be weeks and months on end. Now the symptoms are the same. What happens are the same. The attack is the same. It's how long it stays is different. And maybe knowing a little bit better how to deal with it now, it doesn't stay as long. Maybe I'm able to overcome it a little easier. I'm not sure. But I think it has a big part to play in it. Now, I have been in that long extended period of depression before, and during that time, I fought what seemed to be an endless battle for every single thought. It seemed like I couldn't be free from an onslaught of attack in my imagination and in my mind, and just everything I thought about, it was just constant, just a constant dart, like the Word of God talks about the fiery darts of the enemy. It's like that. It was like somebody was just taking little darts, constantly throwing them into my mind. And every little dart, it would create another imagination, another endless story, another end that I was fearful of. And during this kind of depression, our minds become a battleground for which each and every waking moment must be won with excruciating effort. And that's exactly what goes on. That's what was happening during that time for me, is every single moment was excruciating. It was, I had to try, I had to push, I had to keep going, and I had to categorize my mind. And men, I know that there's all these studies, men categorizing mind, it's easier for a man than it is a woman to do so, but it's not necessarily the right answer, because I'd categorize it for a little while, but then it would come right back, and then I was back maybe even a worse state than I was previously. So it's something that must be dealt with. And the worst thing that anyone can do during this times of depression is to allow our imaginations or allow our minds to create imaginative storylines that tell a negative outcome for the situation that we're facing. Our imagination can create this long, elaborate list or storyline or things that are going to take place because of this situation at hand, or he said, or she said, or he did, or she did, or whatever it may be. And we create this end from it, and it's derived strictly from our fear, and it's derived strictly from what we think is going to happen because of the negativity that we are faced with at the moment. And many times because of that, I thought I wasn't going to win. I thought I was going to fall. I allowed my thoughts to succumb to the negativity. And because of that, it's just this endless storyline of all the bad things that can happen and all the terrible things are going to take place. And I'm going to give into this. And so I had to learn how to do something different. And in the Bible, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This scripture is so, so powerful when dealing with depression. Casting down imaginations, the putting down of those things that aren't real. Imaginations are not real. And we have to know that. We have to know that our mind is not God's mind. And we cannot tell the future. We don't know what tomorrow holds. God does. So we can't go there. We have to stay in today. We have to stay here. Had to practice this every single day, even multiple times a day. This scripture literally saved my life. During this extended time of depression I'm talking about, and I faced it in 2019, I had to live this scripture and literally cast down imaginations that were trying to take over my mind. They're trying to consume me. And that's what it is. It's a consuming of our own imagination. It's a consuming of fear. And we're allowing fear to overwhelm us and overcome us. And then we are drowning in fear because of it, because we fear everything that can happen, even though those things are not happening. And on three different occasions because of this, suicide entered into my mind to go ahead and to take my own life and to end this. And the only reason I was able to overcome this during this time is because I never stopped praying, even though I didn't feel like it. And I didn't even feel like he was doing anything. I didn't feel like God could hear me. I felt like he was miles and miles and miles and light years away from me. And I was not within the earshot of him. And he couldn't hear what I was saying. But I just kept praying. I just kept praying, kept talking to the Lord. I never stopped being faithful to God during those times, even though I felt like he wasn't there. I just kept doing what I know to do. And I'd go back to that. And on three separate occasions, suicide came into my mind to take my life. And because of my prayer in life, and because I was faithful to God, because I kept listening to the Word, I kept listening to praise and worship music, I kept putting those things into me. That's what saved me. That's what kept me. And the dark side of ministry is that ministers face this and then they hide it. They hide this as like it's the evil that cannot be spoken of, and it's this great thing, it's great dark secret that nobody can talk about because it's going to expose weakness, and it's going to be something people are going to look at me funny because I had to deal with suicide, or I had to deal with mental illness, or I had to deal with depression. You know what? That's a bunch of hogwash. That's ridiculous that we would allow ourselves to be put into those positions that we're, because we're preachers, we can't deal with things. And because we're preachers, we think that we are able to overcome these things. Nobody is above reproach. Nobody. Nobody is above falling. Nobody is above those things. And the moment we think that we are above it, we probably have already fallen. So we must understand that these things are real, that we can overcome them, and we must overcome them. and that we can help somebody else overcome them. And I was able to overcome simply because I kept praying. I kept being faithful to God and to church. I started filling every moment with praise and worship music. I occupied my mind with the Word of God. I listened to preaching, and I just kept doing it over and over again, because I finally came to the realization that if it's going to be a constant onslaught of thought, then I have to fill my thoughts with the Word of God. I have to fill my thoughts with praise. I have to fill my thoughts with the preached Word of God. And so that's what I did. That's what we did as a family. We made some changes. And I still now have to deal with this depression or this emotional draining, this problem over and over and over again. Not every week, but most weeks. And sometimes it's worse than others. But I know that it could happen, and I can feel the things that make it happen. So therefore, I'm able to prepare myself and to know and be able to overcome it. And it's primarily because I've emptied myself in ministry. Now, I read 2 Corinthians 10 in verse 5, but listen to what Paul says in chapter 10, verse 6. It says, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So what's he mean here? So he says, "And bringing in verse 5, bringing in into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So once we have gotten our thoughts under control, and they are now in obedience to the knowledge of God, and they're in obedience to Christ, then we can now enact revenge, because now our thoughts are right. So we enact revenge against the enemy that tried to steal our joy in the first place. We have our obedience back. So now we come in and we begin to fight harder, and we go at it even stronger than what we did before. Knowing that depression is coming should never stop us from allowing the Holy Ghost to operate through us. We allow it to operate through us. We allow God to use us. And we deal with this, the onslaught of the attack of the enemy, because we know his devices. We know he's going to do these things. And then we get back up on our feet. We take it and we learn from it, and we go at it again. And we keep doing this because people need preachers. People need the Word of God. And somebody's got to do it. And if you're called to be a preacher, you're that somebody. You're that somebody that's going to help dig somebody up out of a miry pit. Your long arm of mercy, along with God's, is going to reach into where they're living and drag them out of the pits of hell and save a soul. That's what we do. That's why we are doing this. And in so doing, we are going to deal with difficulty and depression and mental illness and all the things that this world has to deal with as well. We're going to fight those battles, and we are going to overcome them because God has given us the strength to overcome them. We are more than conquerors. And I know we love those scriptures. Those are really great, rah-rah scriptures, and we like to talk about them. But they have meaning. They mean something. That's why God wrote them there. That's why they're in his word. It's so that we can use these things in ministering to hurting people. In ministering to hurting people, it's what we do on Sundays. It's what we do on Wednesdays, or Tuesdays, or Thursdays, whatever it is. You know, whatever day that we're ministering, and we are going to be empty sometimes because of it. The idea of quitting is not a good one, and preachers aren't quitters, so we're not going to quit. And quitting only leads to more depression and more quitting and so on. And it's just a deep, dark slope that we're not to go down. So don't quit. Hold your head up high. Keep going. Keep moving forward. And I've spoken to several different ministers about this particular subject, and one of them, or in every one of them, have confirmed battling depression primarily after emptying themselves in a church service. That's usually when it's going to take place. That's why the old cliche is, you know, well, preachers quit on Mondays. Well, you know, I understand that. Monday may not be the day, though, for you. It might be a different day. And so you have to be ready for it. I've especially been subject to what seems to be a greater sense of loneliness and emptiness or depression after being the guest speaker at another church. When someone has you come preach somewhere else, it seems like they can even pull more out of you than what happens at your home church. where you normally will speak it. So you have to be even more aware and more wary of this, that it's going to take place, and not to allow it to defeat you. Sometimes we preach slightly different, or the Holy Ghost operates through us slightly differently when we preach somewhere else than our home church. Just simply because the other people can accept more. They can receive more from you because you have not become familiar to them, if you allow me to use that terminology. They are more willing to hear your voice because they don't know the ins and outs of your whole life. They don't know every little thing about you. And so they have nothing negative to think about you, only positive things. So they allow the Holy Ghost to operate even at a greater level. And this allows for a deeper or a greater loneliness and depression or feeling of inadequacy to happen after the fact. The only way to truly overcome depression is by going back to what we know. So the scripture says, the casting down imaginations, the casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I have to go back to what I know. I know God, the knowledge of God. So and if we look at how the enemy attacks, this is how he does it. He comes against everything we know God to be true. I know God will never leave me, so the enemy tells me that I'm alone. I know his word is forever established and true, so the enemy tells me that you know, God's not a miracle worker. He's not a healer. He doesn't save. The people don't want this. And I know that I have hope in God, and I have hope in his word. So the enemy tries to tell me that he's not coming back, and he tries to tell us that his word is not going to save. It's not going to help, and there is no hope for the future. And I know that he loves me, so the enemy tells me that he hates me. The enemy tells me that I'm not good enough, but I know that he loves me. I know that he is my strength, so the enemy tries to tell me that I'm constantly weak. So the enemy tells me that I'm not good enough, that I'm not qualified, but my strength is in him, so I know that. So I have to combat what the enemy is telling me with what I know. I know that God's ways are perfect. So the enemy constantly tells me about how my ways are not perfect. So he's telling me I am faulty and I have messed up and I make mistakes. And so he tries to remind me of all the things that are against the knowledge of God, to try to make God out to be a liar. He tries to misuse the word of God and misquote the word of God in the same manner which he did with Eve when he changed the verbiage of what God said. And so that's what he tries to do with us. I know that he is my savior. So he tries to tell me that my salvation is not there. He tries to tell me I'm not saved. He tries to tell me that I'm not, that I haven't heard the voice of God. I know I have his spirit living inside of me, but he tries to tell me that I'm a dirty vessel, that I'm unclean, that I'm not worthy, that I can't do it. That's what he does. He tries to tell me that I don't even know who God is, even though I know him. I know him. I have felt his presence. I've been with him. But the enemy tries to get me to believe that that's fake, that it's emotion, that it's not real. But those are lies, and we have to recognize them as such. Depression tries to come against the things that we know. It tries to get us to believe that we don't know. It tries to get us to believe that we've made all this up, that it's just a bunch of emotional people that don't really understand and they have no education and they don't know what's going on. But those are lies. Those are lies. It tries to get us to fear. But I know that if I fear the Lord, then I don't fear anything else. So that's why I will choose to fear God, and I won't fear what the enemy is telling me to fear. Depression and mental struggles do not have to be the end of us. They can be what launches us into a deeper walk and understanding with God. God wants to use these times in our lives He wants to use them for our betterment and for the betterment of others. He doesn't want to use them for our destruction. He doesn't want them to be so that we are destroyed, but he wants them to elevate us. He wants to use our difficulties to elevate us to a place that he can take us to the next level and use us on a grander scale. But we have to have things in balance and in the right manner for him to do so. God wants to use these times in our lives so that we can be a greater example of his mercy and his grace. If we try to hide behind the dark times of ministry, if we try to hide behind depression, try to hide behind mental illness or struggles, then we are limiting and actually stopping the hand of God from operating the way that he wants to. Depression, whether it is daily, weekly, or a periodic occurrence, it can be overcome. It can be overcome. It doesn't have to destroy us. It doesn't have to take us down. It can be overcome. And I know because I have overcome it. And I have overcome it. I overcame it last week. I overcame it the week before that. Probably overcome it this week. I don't know. I know the enemy will probably try to attack me with it, but I'm just going to overcome it. I'm just going to do the things I know to do. I'm going to believe in the God that I know. I know his name. I'm going to call on his name. I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to listen to people preach about his name. And I'm going to overcome depression. Depression, whether it's daily, weekly, periodic, whatever it is, it can be overcome by prayer, by changing any negative influences in my life, getting rid of those things. It can be overcome with seeking counsel. It can be overcome with listening to preaching, listening to praise and worship music. It can be overcome by listening to the Bible being read. It can be overcome by casting down those imaginations, stopping anything that speaks against the future God has for us. One of the biggest struggles during a difficult time is trying to determine the outcome. And we are notorious for doing this. We always try to determine the outcome, what's going to happen. We want to know. We want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. We want to know what's going to happen the next day. We want to know what's going to happen in our nation. We want to know what's going to happen. So we're always trying to determine what's going to happen and figure things out. You get a bunch of people together and they begin talking about things. And usually they've got the whole world figured out in a matter of minutes. And a statement oftentimes is made, well, I wish they'd just ask us what to do. And we would tell them. But we all know that's just satire. It's not really something that can happen. We're just trying to figure out what can happen. We're trying to determine the outcome of situations when really we don't have the power or the authority to do so. The real problem with this is when we do this same thing in our lives, is when we're going through devastating times or depressing times and we're trying to determine the outcome of tomorrow when we haven't even got through today yet. Jacob tells his son Asher in Deuteronomy 33:25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. This means that it is enough for each day as it's given to them. That's all you have. You have enough for today. You don't have enough for tomorrow. Heard Brother Mike Williams preach a message about this. Phenomenal word of God. Really impacted my life as I'm still using this today. And he deals with this and talking about we have enough for today. We have enough for right now. We don't have enough for tomorrow. God did not call us into tomorrow. He called us into today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. It's the appointed time. It's now. It's what we're doing with the moments that we're given at hand, not with the perceived moments in the future, because we are not promised tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while and it vanishes away. We don't have any promise of the future. All we have is the moment that we're living in. So we must take control of that moment, not take control of the next moment, not try to control what's happening in the future, not try to control the outcome of what's going to happen, because we can't. We don't have any power over it. Jesus even said in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough going to happen tomorrow that tomorrow it's going to take care of itself. So you've got to deal with right now. You've got to deal with today. We can't deal with tomorrow because we're not in tomorrow. But depression and mental illness and mental struggles, they want us to, it always wants to take us into what's going to happen. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what's going to happen. And that can lead us into depression. But you're not ever going to know what's going to happen. You're not going to know. I'm not going to know. So what we do know, though, is God has given us enough for today. that if we're in today, then we have enough strength for today. And if we have enough strength for the day, then we're going to make it. And then, you know what? If we wake up tomorrow, then God will give us enough strength for that day too. So what we have to deal with is what's going on right now. This truly is where the beauty of God is found. His mercies are new every morning. His ways are not like our ways. He makes straight paths for my feet every day. He prepares them. He leads and he guides me into all truth. He, in my day of trouble, I will call upon him. So if today seems to be troublesome, I'm going to call on him. I'm going to go back to those things, the list of things I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study. I'm going to listen to the word of God. I'm going to get rid of the negative influence out of my life. And I'm going to worship and praise in his name. I'm going to do those things because in my day of trouble, I will call upon him. A day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Man, if I can just spend time in the presence of God, if I can just spend time with him, it's better than anything else. It's better than any other future, any other outcome that I could come up with. It's better. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to allow this day to defeat me. We have to know that he really hasn't left us, that he really is there. The dark side of ministry is trying to hide the trouble, the depression, the difficulties of life with a facade of perfectness, of thinking that we have it all figured out, of trying to act like everything is just going okay when sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not okay. Sometimes things are not right. Sometimes you don't know how it's going to turn out. But that's all right, because it's not up for you. It's not up for me, up to me to determine how it's going to turn out. God has that. That's his responsibility. That's what he's going to do. That's not what I'm going to do. If you're dealing with the dark side of ministry, if you're dealing with this and you have recognized this and something I've said has resonated with you, then reach out to someone today. Reach out to someone. Let them know that, you know what, you need prayer. Let them know that you need help. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to need your brothers and your sisters. It's not a bad thing to need the body of Christ. That's what we're for. So if you're dealing with this, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with mental struggles and hurts, and you're dealing with these things, you don't know what to do, know this, that you're not alone and you're in good company, that we all are dealing with these same things. And with that being said, we'll talk to you. Somebody will talk to you. I'll talk to you. Reach out to me. Reach out to me. I'll talk to you. Nobody else will. I'm going to pray with you. I'll pray with you over the phone. I'll be there for you. You know, but you have to know that you need someone to talk to, that you need to put some of these things into action, and you need to find what helps you defeat depression every single day, every single week, all the time that you're going through it. You've got to find a way to defeat it, because you can defeat it. And God has given us the ability, he's given us the recipe to defeat it. And if you're not dealing with depression, then reach out to someone. Let the Lord speak to you. Reach out to someone that you can talk to and just ask them, hey, how you doing today? Hey, you need anything? You need me to pray about anything? It's one of the greatest questions that I'm ever asked. Hey, just thinking about you, do you need anything to be prayed about right now? Or is everything okay? Well, that's what we got to do, church. That's what we have to do. This is The Preacher's Perspective with your host, Warren Joyce. I hope that you enjoyed listening today, and be on the lookout for more podcasts from The Preacher's Perspective, and let's allow the Lord to help us.